Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloko.uat.ronizone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is us, the Ronies and Lady, hosting the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, further discussions of Selfless, Brave, and True.
Yep.
Sorry, we are a bit tardy, but
well, it happens.
It was Easter weekend.
Yeah, and there were a number of things going on. So
yes. So I did want to talk about a few things. I've given my lovely wife some notes, but I have actually...
Some nose?
Notes.
Oh, sorry. I literally heard nose.
So let's talk about the first kind of big thing before we get to the rest of it.
The thing about where I don't like tomorrow?
No.
Now, did I mention that? Because I'm not sure I mentioned it last time.
We'll figure that in somewhere.
Okay, because I want to make sure we know, because I think that's important to note, because I don't think I mentioned it last time at all.
Well, I'm sure it'll come up again. So, all right.
Yes, it will.
Yes. So let's talk briefly about, you had mentioned back with when that the prophecy that the woman had with the eyeballs in her hands.
Yeah.
That
the blind seer,
right?
Okay,
mm-hmm. Oxymoron. That was a reference to the boy who would be his undoing.
Right.
Was actually
Pinocchio.
August.
Well, yeah, Pinocchio. August. Same person.
And so everyone kind of assumed, and even they had that secondary scene when Goal grabbed him and said, "You did this. You brought us here."
To Henry. Right.
Everybody thinks it's Henry.
It's Henry. Oh, it's Henry. It's got to be Henry. And I'm like, that's too obvious. I still think it's August or Pinocchio.
And in Selfless, Brave, and True, we did see that when August, Pinocchio, was made real again. He was made real into a boy.
Little boy.
So.
A young boy.
Yes.
Yeah. Younger than Henry.
True.
So, yeah.
Okay. I also wanted to talk about, we're just kind of tying up some loose ends here, and then we'll dive into some emails and voicemails.
Okay.
So, Cora... Everybody keeps giving Mary Margaret a hard time, and Mary Margaret's giving herself a hard time for what happened with Cora.
Yes.
But in thinking about it, it actually made a lot of sense. And I may have mentioned this on the podcast before.
Okay.
Is that if Cora was going to save someone's life, mm-hmm. it would have either been Regina.
Right.
Or Rumpelstiltskin.
Right.
That's what I think.
Well, she loved him. She right. said she loved him. He's the only man she ever loved. Mm-hmm. Which we already knew, she didn't love her husband.
Right.
That was obvious.
And so that's why she, in the script, what she said, that's why she took out her heart. because she loved Rumpelstiltskin so much.
Right, that she couldn't handle being with him, and she couldn't trust her heart. He was her undoing.
So I think that the one person who she would not have minded in the full scope of things to do that candle switcheroo thing was Rumpelstiltskin.
So basically making the ultimate sacrifice for him wasn't going to be a difficult decision for her.
No, I don't think so. So in effect, I think everybody should chill out. I know Regina's very sad,
but
Margaret should chill out in realizing the way it worked out. I think actually, at least for two of the parties, is a good thing. So
I'm pretty sure she would have actually. I'm kind of thinking she might have actually liked to have put Snow White in her shoes.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If she's gonna save Rumpel, she'd rather it be through Mary Margaret's death, not her own.
Right.
But given a choice, if that's the only option, I think she loved him enough that maybe she would have sacrificed herself for him.
And then I had a crazy theory about with this, let's call it a soul switch or something, where Cora's life was given to Rumpel to save his life that was ebbing away.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I was thinking, because we've never seen this whole thing work before. We've never seen it fully done. We saw it almost done. But then Snow said, no, I can't do it. I cannot use this candle to take away someone's life to save my mother's life. I can't
right,
do that.
Right.
So we almost saw it done, but we haven't seen it done.
Right.
So I was thinking, what if Cora has some bit of her life in Rumpelstiltskin? Again, kind of following the kind of tragic love story that we're already talking about. What if a little bit of Cora is in him? And I was thinking of Ghost, you know, the whole channeling thing with Whoopi and all that. And then also, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie All of Me.
Oh, yeah. It's
Steve
a great
Martin.
Movie.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
So
hilarious.
That kind of idea.
Yeah. Might be going a little over the edge there, but you just never know.
Yep.
I mean, they've gone all kinds of places with the show this season that I wouldn't have expected. So it's possible. Anything is possible.
But I was just thinking either she could communicate with him, or I was thinking maybe thwart his love interest with Belle. I don't know. So just for what it's worth, I wanted to kind of throw that out there. Also, Manny wrote a very detailed email about Tamara being the granddaughter of Fairy Godmother. So, and actually, it's a very, very close analysis of what happened. I will post that email. But let's...
I was thinking about that when we were watching it.
Mm-hmm.
If the fairy godmother was killed when she was a young woman.
Right.
The only way I would say that I don't see that woman being her grandmother. Maybe it's her mother.
Mm-hmm.
The fairy godmother, Cinderella's fairy godmother, could potentially be her mother.
Right.
I don't see it being her grandmother.
Okay.
Because of the timeline, because of the fact that she didn't have any kids at that point. I mean, do fairies even have children?
I have not read this email.
No, I haven't either. So I don't know where he's going with it. But
what I did want to say is I think people may have meant she is somehow related, connected to her, possibly the mother, but somehow connected. And I was thinking about it, and let me kind of give you my thoughts on this.
Okay.
So maybe... And I look at it like, and it is very close to the fairy vow, if you will, and the nun vow, if you will. Because remember the discussion that the blue fairy had with Dreamy, that you cannot fall in love with a fairy because you are ruining her destiny. You can't do that. And so, in effect, it's very similar to... you have to devote your life to this vocation, if you will, this destiny as a I put women to sleep all over the world. I'm putting my wife to sleep.
Sorry.
That sounds bad, but she's yawning. So yeah. Anyway. So what I was thinking is, did Fairy Godmother somehow take a break? Maybe she had tomorrow before or during. Maybe it was a secret birth. I don't know.
How are fairies born? Where are the male fairies? Who, okay. You know what I'm saying? There's so many questions.
But it's just, let me continue on with this craziness and then we'll dive in. So what if Tamara is acting vengeance against magical people and then finding Rumple because he basically destroyed Fairy Godmother?
Possibly.
And perhaps somehow there is a connection, a family connection to from Tamara to her.
Sure.
And so what if she wants that wand from Rumpelstiltskin? And kind of a very similar scene that she had with August, say, that's mine. That's my stuff. Mm-hmm. And she paid for it, but she didn't get it in her hand. You know what I'm saying? So in effect, if there is a scene with the wand, say, that's my wand. Hmm. No, it's not. You know, I got it. You weren't even around there. So yes, but that was my, you know, whatever's. Are you going to be all right?
I'm going to be just fine. I'm waiting for you to finish because I got some stuff to say.
All right. Okay. So, and in the end, I think tomorrow we'll use that magic wand to bring August back to an adult because she felt bad for what she did as a meanie. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. So here's my take on the whole Tamara thing. Being that she was with Owen, Greg Mendel, at the end, in a very rather intimate way, the fact that she knew he was heading there to look for his father, I think, this is what I think the real story of Tamara is. I think Tamara was an orphan.
Okay.
Like Greg Mendel, Owen.
Okay.
I think that they were raised in the same orphanage. I think that when he got there, he told her what he'd seen. He told her the story of Storybrooke and how all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the town just popped up. I think she figured, as a little girl, having heard the stories of fairies and fairy godmothers, like all little girls do, she figured there must be magic. So she wanted her parents back or a family to raise her. And I think that she has plotted this whole entire time a way to get magic so she can have the life she always wanted. I don't think she's related in any way, shape, or form to anybody from fairy tale world or anything like that. She's just a regular human being, but she wants the magic that she knows is there because she has a warped sense of justice.
Okay. All right.
And I think that she's using Greg to get what she wants. I think she, just like she used August to get what she wants, I think she is just doing it just to, maybe she thinks magic took her parents.
Okay.
And she's trying to destroy magic to seek revenge for what happened to them. Any number of reasons. Mm-hmm. But I don't think she's in any relation to anybody. I think she's totally just a human being that has had a tragedy happen in her life. And like all little girls, dreams of being a princess or a fairy, you know, fairy princess or whatever you want to call it, that, you know, my parents will come for me in the end. And they never did. So that's what I think is going on with Tamara.
Okay. So I will. Now, this was kind of controversial, but, you know, hey, you're kind of on it tonight. So, I mean,
yeah.
Now, Jane Espenson, from what I understand, tweeted that the device that Tamara used on the dragon gentleman, mm-hmm, and on August was not a traditional taser. She said it was not a taser. That's what I'm gathering.
Hmm.
So
I'd be interested to know what the heck that is, because it sure looks and acts exactly like a taser does.
True, true. So there are some messages that we got on our Facebook page. And thank you for all of you who are part of our Facebook group. Thank you very much. And they have other ideas about that, and we'll get to that. So I'm not going to read all of Manny's email, but it's very, very detailed. And I will put that in the post for this. So, all right. Let me see. I'll just read the last two. And I think we've already touched on that. So, from what August said, the dragon is dead because he went back 2 days later and found his body, which in and of itself is kind of questionable, given the amount of traffic to those that see the dragon. 2 days and he's still on the floor? I don't know about that one. My guess is that Tamara is a granddaughter of the fairy godmother that Rumpel destroyed in front of Cinderella and is back to seek revenge, destroy Storybrooke, or to take over Storybrooke somehow. Rumpel referred to that fairy godmother or at the wand that she used as pure evil. Now, is it possible he was correct, seeing how evil Tamara is and the granddaughter of that godmother? Perhaps Rumpel was correct. Ha! So, looks like a war over Storybrooke will be our season finale. What do you both think? And how in the heck are they getting magic beans soon when it took giants 100 years to harvest Manny? So,
yeah, I just gave my opinion on that.
I know, but I want to kind of read a summation.
I wonder a few things, and the beans growing already. Well, here's where I think that they're growing fast because it's a different time and place. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe the ground here is much more fertile, and there's something here in the ground, in the soil, that they don't have where the giants live that helps them grow faster. I mean, which is funny because if you think about it, the beans themselves, when you drop them in the ground, they actually grow really, really fast, like overnight, into giant stalks.
Yep.
According to the story. So, anyway.
Okay, this is Dan from Boston. Hey, Oncers, Dan from Boston here. Loved last night's episode. Finally, we're getting a conclusion to the August Pinocchio storyline. Love that he was reverted to a real boy before the curse. I have a feeling that his line will be a precursor to the series line by bringing everyone back to their pre-curse stage, i.e., eventually seeing Emma brought back to her baby stage before the curse was enacted, back to redemption, and Henry being read this story to his mom, Emma, and the real world, and everyone's happening happily ever after. It's just a long tail. Maybe after season 5, mind you, can't wait to see all of the other characters play out, kind of going on how Lost, the Lost storyline was played out. Hope all is well with the Ronies. Peace from Boston, Mass. Happy spring, Dan H. I hope it's not too cold back there. But yeah, it is, you know, you have to kind of start thinking about the cyclical idea of this story. And, you know, redemption, you know, Lost did kind of toy with that idea of, what's that term where you another chance to kind of fix things before? What's that term? You die and some people leave you go somewhere to kind of work things out.
Purgatory.
To kind of fix it and then you go. Mm. So, I mean, Lost really kind of played with that a lot.
I mean, anything is possible with this show, like I said. I mean, they've kind of really gone places we didn't expect, so you just never know where they're going to go with it. So anything is possible. And yeah, you know, a nice little tidy ending when it's finally, the series is just 100% all done, would be something like You know, Emma reading, you know, Snow White to her infant baby Henry.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And I did have a weird Walking Dead thought. Hold on.
Oh, Lord.
And I was thinking, you know, a baby in this new era of Storybrooke. But then I said, no, we basically already have one. We have Ella's baby. You know, in effect, was born during that period of time after.
Before the curse was
broken. Before the curse was broken. But,
right.
So, and I don't know, based on her schedule, if we will revisit Ella's storyline. But, anyhow.
Well, unfortunately, the show she was on got canceled, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
She may be a little more available now.
Yep. There are so many characters that they've hired for this show, this Once Upon a Time. It's incredible. They have every kind of...
Yeah, I mean, I get why they did some of it, because obviously, I mean, like, look, Sidney Glass is gone.
Right.
That's it. We aren't going to see him again. It'd be a miracle if we did. But right now, we aren't going to see him again, because he's a pretty major player on Revolution.
So, I know we're jumping around a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of sorry, but... It's just part of what this podcast is.
Exactly. Well, and we're talking about the series.
Right.
So it's not like we're, you know, going off on tangents about, you know, corn.
Nope. So the falling ratings. So let me bring, let's see if I still have it here. I do. Okay. So season one, the premiere started 12.93. And the lowest ratings for an episode was, 8.36, which was Stable Boy.
Okay. That's season one.
Season one. So season two, we premiered at 11.36, lower than the season one premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And it dropped to 9.84, 9.45, 9.89, 9.85, and then Tallahassee 10.15, and then we dropped to 8.75, 8.82, 9.10, and then we dropped to the sevens. So In the Name of the Brother, Tiny, which to date has been the lowest viewer numbers of any episode, it's 7.08.
Mm-hmm.
And then back up a little bit to 7.61, Manhattan. The Queen is Dead, 7.39. And Selfless, Brave, and True is 7.38. So we are less now. I mean, if anyone's going to start freaking out, it would be the time to freak out now. Because there's no excuses. I mean...
Well,
you know,
okay,
so.
I'm going to say this. I think there are reasons, okay? So it's Academy Awards season,
right?
If you compare this date or these dates, look at the end of February this year and compare that to the numbers of end of February last year. That'll tell you how things are.
Right.
Because that's Academy Awards season.
Mm-hmm.
Right? February is always a tough month. You got Grammys, Academy Awards, you got all kinds of stuff, right? March last year, what were the numbers last March?
Well, Red Handing was 10.67.
Compared to the same, roughly the same time frame.
Okay, March 11th. March 10th, The Miller's Daughter, 7.64.
So down 3 million. Down by 3 million. That's a lot of viewers,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Those numbers, do they take into consideration the DVR numbers?
I do not know.
Don't think they do. I don't think they do. I think that's live viewing. So the other factor is, and let's just face the reality, mm-hmm. This season is not season one. It's not the same show. It's a totally different show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that it's worse. It's different. And that's what I think is... But some people are going to go, nope, season one was it. I'm done. And I've heard a lot of people say they're just not as interested as they were.
I've heard a lot of that, especially the Evil Regals have kind of fallen off, and they go, you know, look, if Lana's not going to be in it, we're out.
Right. So, and that's the sad fact is that, you know, they tried to go the redemption route with Regina and it worked for a lot of people, made them very happy. But for a good number of people, it really upset them because it's not Regina. She's not the same. If she's going to go soft, you know, I mean, I've heard the comments. So I think that's the key right here is that, you know, hopefully they will change the direction back towards more what they had in season one.
They've locked them all down pretty much. They're probably editing probably the finale.
I understand. I don't know if they've even filmed the finale. They probably have. But
well, they're filming it now.
Right now. Yeah. So they haven't edited. Yeah. But what I'm saying is there's going to be, it better be a barn burner because at this point in time, season three could be iffy.
Yeah. So,
and again, it comes back to the storylines and where they're going. Adding a boatload of new characters, on the one hand, kind of cool, but on the other hand, people like their characters.
Right.
I mean, look how many people were beyond mad when they killed off some of the characters in Lost. And I won't say anything in case people haven't watched it and want to. When they killed off certain characters in Lost, I'm sorry, spoiling that right there for you. But when they killed off specific characters, people were absolutely just, whoa, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So, but if you stuck with it, the seasons as they kept going, they redeemed it. So you got to hang in there.
So
see it through to the end.
So let's talk about this. This is what's interesting about Once Upon a Time. It's a number one drama. At one point, you know, I haven't seen where things sit right now, but at one point it was. And once it is, then that's what you say is number one drama. So number one drama. Now they kind of threw out there that they wanted to do a Wonderland spinoff.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I'm reading, there's a 20-page portion of a pilot that they're filming. And supposedly they're filming it April, like this week.
Mm-hmm.
Jane was involved and a couple of other folks are involved. They've cast Alice. They've cast, I believe it's the Knave of Hearts. So they're putting together this other show when their main show is down to 7.38 last episode. So it's very interesting that I think they're kind of using the clout they have now. Say, okay, we've got clout. Now let's green light another show. Is it because this one's dropping? That other one may charge ahead. Are they hoping maybe at some point Sebastian Stan can jump into the other show? I don't know. I mean, it's very interesting. And now we have novels for Once Upon a Time, and now we have graphic novels. You know, so all this could have been done last year. They could have put look. I was reading this article about. I believe it's one of the two of the books, and the writer was saying, well, we're still trying to find the voice of the Evil Queen, I believe it's a graphic novel. And I'm thinking, if you don't know the voice of the Evil Queen already, there's fan fiction writers that are willing to help you and have already written pretty good stories.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. It seems like they're really just kind of throwing this thing the last minute and say, oh my gosh, we need content. We need things to sell now to get into the book
market. Last year, we were clamoring for things like merchandise and what have you.
Yep.
This year, people aren't clamoring for it because they're not willing to do anything about it. Now, look, I know a lot of people have said, well, they should put a whole land in Disneyland, or they should, you know, build a whole ride about this. Problem is it unfortunately doesn't have the clout or the legs to stand on as a land in Disneyland. I'm sorry. I know that's going to really make some people mad, but fact of the matter is it's a TV show. And if they did that for this TV show, they'd do it for all of them. So
what I wanted to do was kind of lay out all the parts. You know, we've talked about the rating slide. We've talked about the Wonderland project, which is interesting because normally they do film the entire pilot. And filming a portion of a pilot, I think 20 pages I was reading somewhere, That's pretty, that's very, very different.
It's like what, 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Well, and it could be to test, to test the water, see if it gets any reaction.
But even with Once Upon a Time, they filmed the entire pilot.
I understand. I understand. What I'm just saying is, if they're doing it to test it out, test the water, they may be testing it on an audience to see what they think.
Yeah.
Because if they don't get the support of it right off the bat, they won't do it.
Yeah, I just think someone look, and I sound like I'm a hater, and I'm really not. No. But somebody. Somebody in an office above the third floor in an ABC something somewhere should have looked, you know, at Desperate Souls and said, man, 10.35 million viewers, that's a lot. We need to get some books out there. We need to get some graphic novels out there for folks that, I mean, there's a, anyway, they should have done it last
year. My bet is they were going for a different audience.
Yeah.
Because not everybody reads graphic novels.
No.
A lot of people don't. A lot of people do, though.
Right.
So, I mean, I totally get both sides of the fence. I do.
It's getting arms to reach other eyeballs that may or may not be watching the show. So.
Right. So, I totally get it. Yeah. I totally get it. But, yeah. And all I'm trying to say is, look, you know, we were clamoring for this stuff. They didn't do anything about it then. And now they're trying to. And it's kind of like, but now where you're taking the storylines, where, you know, they're bringing in characters that are, you know... Look, Regina's a baddie, always has been, but you love to hate her.
Right.
Cora was a baddie. You didn't love to hate her. You were glad to see her die.
Yeah.
Most people were.
Yeah.
Tamara, she's definitely not somebody you love to hate.
I gingerly beg to differ. I think in the end, she will do something to redeem herself. And I think we will... possibly change our mind. I'm just
maybe
laying that out there. But okay, so let me wrap this up and we'll move on. But it's just my hat goes off to fan fiction writers because they've been writing this whole time.
Mm-hmm.
They've written very cool stuff already.
Oh yeah.
And I think it's a little too late. Waiting up to the green light of season 3 is gonna be a lot different this time. Because last time, a lot of us were going, there's no worry. It's going to happen. This time, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know. So, you know, we'll see what Wonderland is doing. But anyway, so, yep. So that's...
It's awesome.
Yep. All right. So this email is from Holly from Wisconsin. And says, wow, what an interesting episode. We may have more than one big bad in our midst for the season finale. My first reaction to see Tamara in Manhattan was right on, just like Colleen. Did not like her. Just had the feeling that she was up to something. When Neil said that Tamara went to get her things in storage and Hook wasn't there, makes me agree with you, Colleen, that she released him. Or maybe the possibility... that maybe she tasered him and he's sailing ships in the great blue sea and the sky. Snow going into the forest and shooting arrows to Joan Jett's bad reputation was cool, but I think that Snow really does care about her reputation. But right then, maybe she didn't want to. And I can't remember exactly what Shrek was doing. I think it was just Shrek being Shrek, and they were playing that song. I think that's what that was.
Yeah, probably.
The scenes with the dragon were interesting, wondering which story he came from. I don't think it's Mushu, like you mentioned in your first thoughts, but I'm racking my brain as to who the dragon could be, unless they're doing another gender switch, and it's Madam Mim, who had turned herself into a dragon in The Sword and the Stone. But I think that's even bigger. That's a big long shot. I was rather surprised at the end of the episode when the blue fairy turned Pinocchio back to a real boy, that he turned back to a little boy and not grown up August. I think Tamara was breathing a huge sigh of relief when Emma asked Pinocchio, I agree, if he remembered anything of what he was trying to tell her. But if I were Geppetto and the others, I'd be keeping a close eye on Pinocchio and Tamara. I guess our theory of the her that Greg Owen was calling was Tamara. I wonder if we'll see any more backstory and how they met. I'm also wondering if Neil is going to bring Tamara to see Gold. That should be interesting meeting if that were to happen. And I think that's going to be the most interesting meeting of all. Something tells me Gold would tell right off the bat she's up to no good and not good for his son. The meetings with Regina and Greg Owen were good. I think it's far from over between with the two of them. I really think that Greg's dad is alive and well, and I still think he's in Storybrooke. And this is me talking here. Mm-hmm. I think it's Catman, just whatever.
I said this in the previous show.
Yeah.
I believe he's stuck in the jail, in the hospital mental ward, in the no-name cell.
But he's not the sweeper guy.
I don't think he's a sweeper guy. Right. I think he's inside the cell.
Okay.
Because that would make sense. He'd be stuck next to Belle and Sydney. Sydney's was marked, Belle's was not, and there was another one that was also not marked.
Yep.
So
the only reason I even say that it's a Catman dude is because he sits in those chairs in the middle.
Yeah, that's irrelevant. All. But all right. Yeah, okay. That's fine. You can think right. that. And by the way, I do need to back up here since I didn't get a chance to kind of say this. We jokingly said maybe he's Mushu. We weren't serious about saying he's Mushu.
Yeah.
Just want to clear that up because I don't want people thinking that.
We love Disney, but we totally, figured that.
Yeah, that would be a little bit of a stretch.
After the whole Frankenstein thing, we're just, it's anything. Now yeah. Robin Hood. And,
yeah, exactly. So anyway, so back up to what you were saying about
Him. So I'm going to go back into the email mm-hmm. here. And I still think he's in Storybrooke, even though Regina says he left soon after Greg did. It's going to be a long 3-week wait, but the retrospective about magic that they are going to be airing during the hiatus looks like it could be good. Time to wrap it up here. Looking forward to hearing more of your thoughts and those of my fellow oncers. Big love to everyone, Holly from Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Holly. This is from Katie. Would you love to read this one?
Oh, sure. I'll be happy to read this.
All right.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. I was not happy that they turned August back into a little boy. I wanted him to come back for more episodes. It would have been nice for him to have a few more scenes with Emma, starting with one regarding him telling Neil to leave. That would have been interesting. However, maybe Rumpelstiltskin has a way to speed up the aging process. I guess he does it. He does get a second chance this way, which is nice. Other than that, I like the episode. I don't like Tamara either, Colleen. I want to find out what she is up to and why. Have a happy Easter, Katie. And I do have a really interesting... Okay, so I agree. The whole meeting between Rumpelstiltskin and Tamara would be quite the interesting meeting. And I agree with Holly that, yeah, I'm pretty sure he could tell that she's up to something. And maybe that's the point. Remember, he can see the future. He may have even seen her and seen something that's not so good.
Good point. Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out. And then I agree. On the one hand, look, it is kind of cool that August now gets a second chance. However, I do miss Ian Bailey. I hope he does get to come back for some stuff. Because, you know, I mean, he's just pretty to look at. And I know you love him for his sage wisdom.
He had my favorite scenes when he was telling, he was trying to get Emma to believe. And it was just so, oh my gosh.
And
so
as much good. As he would be a great love interest on the one hand for Emma, they're really more like brother and sister.
Yeah.
And she really needs to be back with Neil because they really do belong together.
But I do kind of see why they may want to kind of phase him out because all he was really doing was to kind of get her to believe.
Right.
And she does now, so it's like, mm-hmm. What else do I do? So I kind of see that. But Katie brings up a good point about speeding up the aging process mm-hmm. because remember he told Neil. Yeah.
He could go back in time.
Right.
Turn
so that's a
clock.
Possibility.
So who knows?
That, yeah.
I'm still holding on to the fact that I think August was able to say something to Emma about who Tamara is, and she kept it close to the vest.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part is she's going to try and convince Neil of this somehow, and Neil's going to think she's being jealous, and he's going to be torn, and then he's going to want to dump Tamara because he still loves Emma, and then it's going to make Tamara crazy, and she's going to do some really crazy crap.
Yep.
There's a prediction for you.
Yep. So go ahead and just two more.
Okay. So Genevieve says, calling and I'm with you. I hate Tamara. Blech. And I can't believe what they did with August. So upset. And then Edith says, I hate Tamara and I know why. She is evil Ursula from The Little Mermaid. who knows? I mean, again, you know, there's any possibility. She could be anybody. A thought just crossed my head is that she could be a siren.
Yeah.
Now, here's why I say that. Mermaids were also known as sirens. We know this from the Pirates of the Caribbean, the last movie they did, where they would sing and enchant the sailors. It's Greek mythology. It fits in very nicely. If she is a siren, if she's not just a regular human being and she really is a siren, anything she says would get them. I mean, she conned August into thinking she was, you know, dying of cancer. And that was a big fat lie. So I wouldn't totally rule out the possibility that she could be a siren or a mermaid, possibly even Ursula. But I still, you know, I mean, if they're going to go that route, that would fit more along my line of thinking of who she is and how she is able to convince and enchant, you know, men into doing whatever she wants. More so than the fairy godmother one.
Mm-hmm.
Just my thinking.
Yep.
Somebody, I think, mentioned at one point, you know, if we're going to base it off of the whole Pirates of the Caribbean, you know, franchise, she could be Tia Dalma or Calypso. I read that somewhere. I can't remember where I read that post, but I thought that was actually interesting too. She could very well be Calypso, goddess of the sea, and that would be, you know.
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, there's so many possibilities.
Yeah.
All of them very interesting.
Yes. And this is a very new email, and it's from Roe. And I'm not going to read the whole top portion, but it basically, you know, you and I have kind of mentioned this before, but there's different levels of people. Podcasting is a really interesting thing because there are certain levels of people that they're people.
Random.
Well, there's certain levels. Some people listen. They follow in all the different areas where we are and communicate that way and email and call. Maybe not all at the same time, but they do all those things. And then there's certain people that maybe follow, don't interact, listen, and that's kind of it. And that's what they're comfortable with.
We have interactive listeners.
Right.
Some to varying degrees of interaction. Yeah. Some just primarily through email. Some primarily through, you know, Twitter or whatever. Right. And then you have the other ones who are what we call and affectionately call lurkers.
Right.
Who they are there to kind of listen and they show silent support, but they're there.
You bet. And that's what, you know, and as much of an early adopter as I am, I was on Twitter very early. I can't even remember when, but it was very early in the process because I said, this is going to be big. I remember Facebook, when I first got on, was just, it was bare. It was just so stark when I first got on. But that's me. And
right.
I don't want to put my sensibilities on anybody else because some people just don't want to be bothered with it.
Right.
They enjoy podcasting. They enjoy listening. But they really don't want to give their information to Facebook and they don't want to get on Twitter and all this kind of stuff. And that's totally cool.
Right.
And you know, we have a good friend. We met at PaleyFest. And she's not on Twitter. She's not on Facebook. She came to the meetup.
Right.
Great. She emails.
Yeah.
but it's just there's different types of places, and that's why they always say to try and give little homes for the different types of people. And so, you know, this email here was kind of explaining that Roe's been a subscriber since November, December of 2011.
That's awesome.
And, you know, let's see, not on Twitter, not a part of the Facebook group, but, you know, it's not that she doesn't like us. She's just not
a listener. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it kind of goes through, you know, it's very interesting because there's sometimes when people, they hit that, I call it an emotional 10, and then that makes them, some of them, go to iTunes and leave that review. And I love the more even, and we had a number of emails, but this is another one. It says, I'm happy with about 90% of everything you do. And if I'm not happy with certain parts, I respectfully ignore them. And so, you know, I love that kind of thought is that, mm-hmm. you know, she says, I love Jeff's kookiness. She says it's hilarious and combined with Colleen's sassiness. It makes me want to vote for you, the world's cutest couple. So it's just
that's very sweet.
Yes. Yes. And but what I'm saying is some people really like the package of the way we communicate, talk, mm-hmm. whatever. Some people don't. And so it was just very interesting, this top portion of this email. And
so is there actually something related to the show, the specific show on the bottom?
I'm getting there.
I was just curious if you were just explaining that.
No.
All right. I want to make sure.
I'm just kind of, you know, I was really... You know, it was another one of those emails that was a breath of fresh air.
Okay, that's what I wanted to get to. Okay.
This is really, really sweet.
And I agree with her, because you know what? Look, I've heard, there's so many cliches. There's so many cliches and so many, you know, sayings people say about things. You know, people say, you know, the TV has more than one, you know, button on it, the on and off switch, the right. volume control, et cetera, et cetera. My whole thing is, if you go to a restaurant and you order a salad and they bring you a bowl of, you know, salad and it has one tiny piece of lettuce in it that's kind of brown and icky, you don't send the whole entire salad back. You pick out the brown lettuce and you move on. You eat the rest of the salad, right? So that's how I approach life. If there's, you know, something that I go somewhere, I listen to something, I read something, if the majority of it is actually really good and there might be a couple things that I don't agree with, I ignore those parts.
Yeah.
And yep. just move on. And I take what I like out of it and I let the rest of it go. Okay. And I hope people will do that instead of, you know, not just with us, but anything. I mean, you know, life's too short to mm-hmm. just throw away something that actually is really, really good just yep. because one little tiny part of it is not to your liking.
Yep. And Rose says big love to everyone. And then we begin comments about the episode.
Okay.
It says, Regina seems to be making a lot of the same mistakes. What if Rumpel is controlling her and he has her heart? It's a very interesting point. Because we don't know where that heart
yeah,
is.
Yeah, we're assuming her heart's in her body, but we don't know. Maybe she took it out. Maybe her mom took it out. But on the flip side, though, would she be able to really love Henry if she didn't have her heart?
Yeah,
that's a tough call because I mean I could see where the potential's still there. I mean I guess it's possible because Graham didn't have his heart and he had a thing for Emma.
Well, maybe after Daniel
yeah.
died,
maybe that's
when she did the same thing her mother did.
Hmm. Possibly.
I can't take this anymore.
Yeah, it's a possibility.
So
it's a very real possibility.
I think Rumpel is Cora's baby daddy and that Henry was too dumb to notice that Regina didn't belong to him.
Mm.
Come to think of it, Regina and Rumpel may have had the same lips. Okay.
Huh.
The camera seems to always focus on Rumpel's lips. Will that be important later? That's true. They do.
I never even noticed it. Mostly because I'm just so busy looking at the whole thing.
When is Emma going to learn how to trust her instincts? I wholeheartedly agree with that question. She is getting better, but it seems like she is not comfortable with her own abilities. She should have seen through Aurora with her heart when her heart was taken by Hook.
Yeah.
She should have trusted her instincts when everyone thought Regina murdered Archie. Yeah.
Yep. It's true.
Yep. Hook is very good at saying things, at saving things. He must have a nice little nest egg in the Storybrooke Bank. Yeah.
That's good.
Yep. I am surprised that a baddie like him could stand not to take someone's heart for so long. Is she scratching?
No, she's rolling around going...
Oh.
She's like playing with
yeah,
her
ladies
in, by herself.
Nestling into her.
Yeah, she's playing by herself trying to get my attention. It's very funny.
It sounds like we have a zombie in here or something.
No.
All right. Philip has the worst luck in the world. How many things can he be turned into? True. That is true. Poor Philip. Could Rumple be trying to learn to bring someone back to life because he feels bad about killing Mila?
Interesting.
Now, another thing, too, is I kept thinking that the dragon reminded me a little of Dr. Frankenstein, just a tad. I don't know. I just, for some reason, because he was trying to help people that no one else could help.
So. Okay.
Does Neil slash Bay know Rumple killed his mom? When Hook gets back, he is going to tell that tale. True. And then, you know, we're going to be in the same spot as that, that great scene in, I believe it was Manhattan. It was later than that when they were in, Neil's apartment and all the truth came out. And they were all there, and nobody could lie anymore.
Yeah.
I love that scene.
That was a great scene.
So, Hook wins the award for the best manly makeup. Yep. and they call it guyliner, and he's got it.
He got
the guyliner. So.
He definitely rocks it. And, by the way, he is so pretty in real life.
And what I really, and not that you
don't.
And
I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, he's beautiful. No, he's gorgeous.
Not a bad
life.
Looking chap. I love Ro, though, is always spotting this kind of makeup stuff and all that. That's great. I love all the different shades of the red lipstick. Have you noticed that Regina and Cora both wear two different shades of red lipstick? And I did not, but.
I did, and, I, and that part of that could be their character, but I think it's also, too, part of their coloring a little bit. Because Regina's slightly more olive-skinned, and she wouldn't be able to wear the brighter red that Barbara Hershey wears, because Barbara Hershey's a little paler. And Rose McGowan had a gorgeous shade, almost a deep, deep red.
I think Rose McGowan was very pretty.
Oh,
she had that wonderful dress on. It was very pretty.
Rose McGowan is very pretty. And she's,
I never watched Charm, but move along.
All right. And I didn't either.
All right. Cora was pretty creepy when she went to Regina's house. Who sniffs other people's clothes? You know, and that actually kind of reminded me of Ruby a little bit. So. Because Ruby, you know, would get sent off people's clothes
a canine
and follow.
Thing.
Yeah.
That's a lupine thing, actually, not a canine.
I love how Cora knocked over the computer speaker and referred to it as the talking box. Yeah.
The enchanted box? Yeah, that was very funny.
I love how Regina tried to explain it to her. Classic. It was classic.
It was like trying to explain a computer to somebody who is a little bit older, maybe a generation that's not familiar with computer stuff.
Yeah.
Like your grandma on the... Mouse, we tried to explain mouse to her. That was really cute.
And I'm trying to not to, that was. I'm trying to not be mean, but I just want to say this is what I've kind of, Cora tried to really look younger like her daughter in Storybrooke, especially with the hair.
Mm-hmm.
She took her hair down, and it was curly. I don't know. It really kind of hit me that she wanted a kind of a younger look.
She was trying to go for a more modern flair.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was almost like she wanted to take Regina's place when she sat in the chair, and love what you've done with the place.
Very different.
It was almost like she kind of mirrored Regina's look, and yep.
Well, it's an old adage that, you know, mothers want to live vicariously through their daughters.
Yep. All right. Is Regina still bugging the charming household? And probably. I don't think she can give that up. I think she still wants to. She has eyes everywhere. And I wonder how many mirrors are still.
Oh, portals like they were? Yeah, she hasn't used one in a while.
Yeah.
You would think that they would be there. But then again, Sydney would be trapped in them, wouldn't he?
Yeah, and I guess after the curse is broken, there's no more mirror talking. So, sorry, lady, we have a little ways to go yet. Did they just add an upstairs to the loft? I don't remember anyone living up there. Actually, they did have an upstairs to the loft, Mary Margaret's loft.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember in season one, I believe it was early on after the date. I think it was the Shepherd episode when she sat on that third or fourth step up and twirled that green ring.
Yeah. Plus, isn't that where Emma sleeps anyway?
Well, right. But I mean, there was a couple of episodes where she just kind of, So, good question. During Dr. Wales' episode, he took some makeup lessons from Jefferson with all the eyeliner. I think they all just... Love the guy liner, just make the eyes stand out.
Yeah, so. It does. Eyeliner makes your eyes pop.
Yep.
Mine looks very bland and boring without it.
Is Daniel really dead if Dr. Whale's brother has his heart? I think Daniel's dead.
I'm pretty sure Daniel's dead.
Yeah. I think he's gone on to wherever Daniel goes. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Pretty sure about that.
Thank you. Gold has magic and is rich. Why does he choose to hang sheets up in his shop? He could just build a new room. That's true. Yeah. I think it's kind of a world traveler because it kind of looks like a Persian rug or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did anyone else fall out of their seat when they heard the Star Wars theme cell phone ringtone? I remember saying, no way. I was pretty excited. Yeah, me too. It was one of those things where you kept thinking, okay, where are they going to fit in Star Wars? Where are they? And then they did.
And they Tron. Did. They did Tron too.
After the party, Regina called Emma. Are they friends? I think at this point, they kind of have to be something, you know?
Well, it's weird because
I mean, two moms,
I don't know if I call them friends.
Frenemies?
Probably. But I would actually say they have a common goal at this point, and that is Henry's safety, well-being, and happiness.
Since Hook's ship can travel to different worlds because of the wood, then can August.
Well, we know August wasn't affected by the curse because he was already gone, so... That'd be why he can do it.
I think if August had a bean and a...
Or some other portal.
Well, a...
Compass.
Possibly. Because you need all three.
I love the hand gestures that nobody else can see.
I know. Where did Cora get the money to buy such a nice dress for the ball? Did she get the fairy godmother... Did she have a fairy godmother like Cinderella? Yeah, I
think she stole it.
Well.
Or she took all the profits from the sale of the flower.
And she could, because her father was
inebriated. Inebriated.
Yeah. Was Cora's fairy godmother a good one? I remember Rumpel killing a fairy in the first season and saying no one would miss her. Was this Cora's fairy? Possible.
We don't know.
My mother and I think that Tamara left the money on the bar on purpose. Who leaves their purse with a complete stranger with money hanging out? I totally agree.
Oh, very definitely.
She played him like a fiddle, and she used him. So, yeah. Tamara is bad to the bone, but I don't get her being able to kill a dragon with a taser. Maybe since the U.S. is torn about guns right now, they chose to go with a taser. That's actually, yeah, that's an interesting thought.
It is an interesting thought. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And what was brought up earlier, real quick, to kind of sidestep this a little bit, is the fact that if Neil said, or August said he went back 2 days later, yeah, there's no way that that nobody outside the, you know, the dragon's room would have not noticed he was dead. Especially the guy who brought August in the first place. He would have noticed. He was his helper. He would have noticed. Yeah. So I think there's a potential that the dragon is not dead and that the dragon played dead for August so August would go do what he needed to do. You know what I mean?
Yep. Okay. It is getting later. I'm going to hold off on the rest of these questions. Great questions.
Yes.
We may, I think I'll play them on a future. We may do a short recording during the hiatus here and
yeah,
answer those. So I will play the voicemails now. Here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Dave from Michigan. I'm calling after I've watched the latest episode a couple of times. I have a couple of complaints, honestly. And I think that because I didn't like this episode is why they brought it to light. But I've noticed that the first season of the show was an ensemble about everybody. This season seems to be pretty much all about the Charmings and the people that are in their lives very close-knit, like with, you know, Regina and Cora and Rumpel and Bale. And I think that it's made the show suffer a little bit because I think it was a better done as a show about the group of people who are in Storybrooke and how all of their lives were affecting each other. You know, because now Ruby's nothing more than a babysitter who has a good nose. And it's kind of frustrating. And I think one of the things that, you know, pointed this out to me is the way that they wrote August out as being a potential love interest and a character that people cared about. Now, they wrote him out, and suddenly he's a kid who has no memories of any of the things that he's done. He's just brand new again. And so then now they don't have to worry about writing anything new for him besides, you know, seeing him play at the park with Henry or something. And I wonder if the writers are trying to make this more pissed on them, and that's why they're writing characters this way, the side characters, or if that was the plan all along, and they just wanted us to be invested in the side characters in the first season. So, I don't know. And the last thing was, this episode was kind of bleh for me. And I hate the fact that this is the episode that leads into the hiatus. Because it's not as suspenseful as it could have been if they had done it after The Miller's Daughter. Where we found out, that, you know, where Cora was killed and Regina found out. And that could have held the suspense for 4 weeks. Until the hiatus came back for the ending, or even Welcome to Storybook, where we found out that who Greg was. Those were suspenseful stories that draw people back. I think that her being Tamara and them kissing behind Bale's back is a soap opera twist, but it's not, you know, it's not something gripping that's gonna, that's everything and about everybody. It wraps up too many storylines. And had one minor surprise. It didn't feel like a break episode. So that's my complaint about that. I think I'll probably call back with my theories because I'm probably about to get beat off. So,
I hear you. I hear what you're saying.
Yep.
And you know, we kind of touched on that when we talked about the ratings and. This is a very different season now.
Oh, very much so.
And
he's got some great points.
Yeah,
I mean, truthfully, yeah, the Miller's Daughter, if they'd ended that, or the queen is dead,
mm-hmm.
No, Miller's Daughter.
Yeah.
Either one of those episodes would have been a great lead into the next season.
No, Miller's Daughter would have been a great lead into the hiatus. Yeah.
Into the hiatus. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, there's... Yeah.
Yeah.
This one, and the sad fact is, I mean, how long ago did I say that her is, you know, once we saw Tamara, I'm like, what if she's her?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It turned out to be correct.
But,
so.
You know, the only thing I'll tell you is, we touched on it before. I think August used his Augustness already.
Yeah.
And so they had to kind of do something. And
true, but I mean, I think they could have come up with all kinds of things, you know, and just, you know, anyway, so many potential.
Yeah, I hear it in your voice, Dave. And mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I hear you.
He is a good example of what I was talking about earlier, where people are disappointed and they're like going, why am I bothering? Cause this is not, you know, I mean, so I hope they're listening and I hope they understand that their fans are not as rabid as they were in season one, where they were clamoring for the next story and couldn't wait to see so-and-so's backstory. I mean, he's got a great point. Ruby is nothing more than a glorified babysitter. And yet she's supposed to be, I mean, she's a regular cast member. She's hardly ever there. What about Archie? He has been gone for the last, what, 4, 5, 6 episodes since they realized he wasn't dead?
Right.
Seriously? There was nothing for him to do in the last 6 episodes?
Yeah.
Other than Welcome to Storybrooke, which was a flashback? So, I mean, I hear what he's saying. I totally get it. I can honestly say I don't blame him. Like, I still love the show. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's like, all right, guys, you got to do something to grab our interest because... It's kind of iffy at this point. We don't know where you're going with this. We're having trouble trusting where they're taking us.
Well, and I'm trying to kind of stay even keel, but I mean, we have 4 more episodes, and the next episode we're introducing another new character,
right?
Robin,
which means Rumple, which we didn't see in this episode, a number of other people we didn't see in this episode. We may not see again for the rest of the season. We don't know.
Yeah,
it's a little frustrating.
Yep. So,
we've invested in our regulars. So where are they?
So I'll say this though, the last 2 weeks, I think a week and a half, Luli's best week and a half ever.
Right, but that's not show related.
I know that, but I'm just saying. I'm trying to kind of have a positive edge of this thing.
All right.
Yeah, I mean, she met everybody.
Yeah,
just
I know.
About.
She did.
Except for us, we were down here.
Lucky girl.
Anyway, all right. We are nodding off, and we don't want to nod off. We have some more cool questions from Ro, and we have 2 more voicemails, and we will record a little mini episode.
Yeah, we can do
that. And focus on those. I want to send big love out to everybody. Hang in there with the hiatus. We have a forum. It's forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. We also would love for you to use our Amazon store link. It's store.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Hang in there. Mm-hmm. You know, hiatus, and then, you know, we can do our little best wishes and wish upon a star for great episodes for the last 4. And then we got a long hiatus after that. So.
Yep.
Anyway, take care, guys, and we will be talking at you soon. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast, and if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.